WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. At least five deaths are now blamed on a winter storm that brought snow, sleet, and freezing rain from the Midwest to mid-Atlantic states. Now bitter cold is setting in places like San Antonio. Erica Borrego with Corazon Ministries is helping people living on the streets find warm places to stay.
We have outreach workers in the field, in reach workers at the shelters. We are all handing out warm weather gear. We are all providing resources for people that might make the choice to stay in place.
Meteorologist Rob Marciano is in Washington, D.C., which got 7 inches of snow.
A relatively small fleet of plows is struggling to keep the roads clear. Work crews using smaller scale tactics to move the snow, power sweepers, and leaf blowers on sidewalks.
Southern Californians are bracing for the strongest winds in more than a decade. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The problem that we have there is not just the potential for destructive wind gusts, which themselves could cause power outages, but also any fire that starts will spread incredibly rapidly. These are very dry winds.
Former President Jimmy Carter's remains will be moved to the nation's capital today.
I'm Jim Crisul in Marietta, Georgia. An Air Force plane is set to fly the body of former President Jimmy Carter from nearby Dobbins Air Reserve Base to Joint Base Andrews outside Washington, D.C., ahead of an official state funeral Thursday.
Mr. Carter will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda until then. At least 95 people have been killed in a 7.1 earthquake near Mount Everest. A surveillance camera picking up the moment the quake hit in the mountains of Tibet near the Nepal border. The BBC's Laura Bicker from Beijing.
We've seen a lot of footage so far that rescuers have managed to reach the scene. These are low-rise buildings, very remote communities, right at the base of Mount Everest.
4 years after George Floyd was murdered by a white police officer, the city of Minneapolis has approved a federal oversight agreement for its police department with the U.S. Department of Justice. Mayor Jacob Frey.
This legally binding agreement will give the city additional tools and the clarity as we continue doing the hard work about building trust and accountability in our communities.
DEI is on its way out at a fast food chain. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
McDonald's says it will put an end to some of its diversity efforts at senior leadership levels, citing the Supreme Court decision that banned affirmative action in college admissions. The fast food giant joins other companies doing the same, including Walmart and Harley-Davidson.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers lose Christian Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirmed that wide receiver Christian Watson could be out a year after suffering a torn ACL and other damage to his right knee during Sunday's game against the Bears. Up next, the Packers face the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Everything is on the line. You know, it's no real do-overs. It's no flush last week. It's no none of that. It's, you know, execute when the times that they got to make a play or whatever. That's what we're going to look forward to try to do. You know, this whole week.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers with another nice Big Ten conference win, 75-63 at Rutgers. In the NBA, after losing four of their last five, the Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 128-104. Bobby Portis with 20 points. Damian Lillard led with 25.
Being physical, making them work offensively, the communication, helping each other, gang rebounding. Those are all things we can control.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Craig T. Nelson belted out the national anthem before the Bears-Packers game on Sunday. The actor stars in Green and Gold, a film about a farmer who bets on the Green Bay Packers to save his Wisconsin farm, part of which was shot in Door County. The 80-year-old actor complimented the Packer fan base and called the opportunity of standing near the Packers logo at Lambeau Field an absolute thrill. Green and Gold hits theaters January 31st. Frontmen don't do humble, but today I was. Those are the words of U2 lead singer Bono, who received the Presidential Medal of Honor from President Joe Biden last weekend. Other recipients of the award went to Hillary Clinton, Irvin Magic Johnson, Bill Nye the Science Guy, Michael J. Fox, and conservationist Jane Goodall. Bono was the winner of 22 Grammy Awards in his career. The White House said he was selected for the Medal of Freedom due to his tireless work against HIV and poverty. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thicken up in the overnight. Our winds will remain light, and our temperatures dropping to the upper single digits. Morning clouds on Tuesday expected to give way to mostly sunny skies. Highs in the upper teens to around 20 degrees. It's 3 at our studios.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn, America's mayor held in contempt of court. Former AG Brad Schimmel thinks Dems are guilty of lawfare. And will Wisconsin ever have binding referendums? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump, Peach Wabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Kicking off hour number two, this is the first week. We're all back at it. The holidays are really over now, even to people like me who try to prolong the joy. You do that, Katie? I'm like, I had so much fun. I just didn't want to go back to the real world. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It was rough, but we're back at it. It's Monday night. I'm live in Madison tonight. Great to have you with me. Katie Scullin is in the studio. She's a singer-songwriter based here in the Madison area. And Matt Miller will be along at 7:20 to talk Golden Globes. Conrad is holding down the fort in Green Bay. Conrad, anything I need to know?
Not much has changed here in Green Bay.
Okay. He's by himself in a haunted studio.
Actually, yeah. You know what's crazy is before the show started, the lights just went on randomly. And I've been in the studio for a while.
Oh, gosh. That would freak me out.
Yeah, I'm kind of scared now.
Uh-oh.
Something bad has happened in that studio. There's no question about it, but I'm sure you're fine. All right, Katie's here. We have a few more minutes with Katie. We talked videos. You had to hold your breath in one video. Go to katiescullin.com. She's got videos, she's got lyrics, and there's a bio there. Really fun stuff. You said you performed a little bit when you were younger, and you're in your videos. Do you like movies? Do you watch movies?
I wish I watched more movies. Yeah.
What's your excuse?
I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm so go. It's the kids sports and the 9 to 5 and then the music.
Right.
The moonlight gigs. I do like movies though. Yeah.
And you like acting. I mean, you have one where you were at a cottage and you started a bonfire, then you were in the water and it was like, that was Tried and True maybe?
Tried and True. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was super fun. That was up Washington Island. Yeah.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Yep. In Door County. Yep. Oh, that's so fun. I love Door County. What kind of movies do you like to watch?
I think I like comedies. I like documentaries a lot. Just a cooking series.
Oh.
Is that?
No.
That's not really a movie.
But you can watch it. There's no rules.
Yeah. I like love stories.
Like a rom-com mysteries. Type?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are popular. Where can people see? You said you have some dates coming up a few months from now. You got to put the new record out. I still say record. I hope that's okay.
That's okay.
And you have some dates coming up. So where will you be playing, or where do you like to play? Like, what's your favorite venue around the area?
Oh, gosh, that's so hard. There's a lot of really good venues. I don't know. That's so hard. I have found a new venue up in Manitowish Waters. That's really cool. It's called Manny's Parkside.
Huh.
Super cool. It's got a great stage, outdoor covering. I like playing up north a lot.
Yeah.
It's
like
fun.
In the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the summertime. No, there's great places all over. I'll be playing kind of a newer place in Oregon. It's called Bodie Howe Brewing Company. They've got a great outdoor area. And then little festivals here and there. I'm hopeful to play a charity event series this summer in my hometown. Crossing my fingers they have.
Is your hometown
back.
Oregon?
Fort Atkinson is my hometown.
Oh, okay. That's not far, right?
Like 45 minutes from Madison. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. There's some great little outdoor music series around the areas. There's one in Stoughton in particular called Gazebo Music. Crossing our fingers, we'll go back there this summer. But so far, we'll be up in Manitowish Waters May 31st.
Okay.
And then I'll be at Bodie Howe in June and August.
When you just said, when you go back to your hometown and you perform. Mm-hmm. I remember when I used to do stand-up and someone would ask me to do a show like up in Marinette. I was terrified. It was so much easier for me when I didn't know the audience. Not to say it can't be done, but are you that way? What's it like when you have to go perform in front of people you either grew up with or that know you or that know your parents?
Yeah, that's tricky. I think as I've done it, you know, I try not to care. Of course I care. But yeah, that was always really tricky. I would have a harder time playing in front of smaller crowds than large crowds.
Yeah.
There was just more pressure in that like intimate space.
Well, you seem pretty comfortable here, so I'd love to hear you to play another song for us if you have something.
Yeah. So I put a poll out on my Instagram. I just wrote a song over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this one's gonna stick, but I decided I would sing it for you.
And this is a world premiere, right?
This is the world premiere.
On Nightlight, Katie Scullin. What's the song called?
Easy.
Easy, love it. All right, Katie Scullin performing live in studio.
Maybe this love is right on time. Maybe the view is worth the climb to see the way the sun can shine as I'm patiently waiting on you to arrive.
think that is the first world premiere we've ever had here on the show. That was very beautiful. Thank you so much. And that's called Easy?
It's called Easy.
Yeah. I love it. I think you got to keep her, but I'm just, what do I know? But I mean, from what I've heard, I think it's great.
Thank you.
So let me ask you something. We talk about movies a lot on the show, movies and TV and comedy and that kind of stuff. Have you ever watched a movie that's inspired you to write a song?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Across the Universe.
Oh, the Beatles?
Yeah.
A friend of mine was a co-producer on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That movie I thought was really good. It kind of got buried, though. Not a lot of people saw it, but I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I loved it.
What song did that inspire you to write?
Oh, I have no idea. I think it just inspired me to pick up my guitar.
Nice. Oh, that's so great.
I'm like, I want to do that. I want to be that. I want to write a love story like that.
That's so cool. Katie Scullin is my guest. She's a singer-songwriter based here in the Madison area. She'll have some dates coming up, but you could check katiescullin.com. Lots of fun stuff there and a great way to learn more about Katie. Who do you get compared to when people hear you? Do they ever tell you you sound like I couldn't, I was trying to, today I was listening, I'm like, oh, some Sheryl Crow, maybe some Amy Mann. I love singer-songwriter. Like, I love Gordon Lightfoot, John Prine.
Yeah.
Gordon Lightfoot is like one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like Chrissy Hynde, Roseanne Cash. Who do people tell you you sound like, if anybody?
I feel like I've heard the man. What's the?
Amy Mann.
Amy Mann. I've heard that before. Back in the day, I used to do like a lot of like Heart and Melissa Etheridge. And then I Amy Winehousing and the Kimbra and stuff like that. I don't know. I feel like things have changed a little bit. For me, like as I've grown as an artist, I don't really do quite as many of those like chick hard rock singer songs anymore. But
What about what do you listen to now? Like when you're not playing, or if you're in your car, or you have some free time, what is Katie Scullin listening to?
Oh goodness, I love the band Broken Bells. I've actually been listening to a lot of funk. There's this great band called Lettuce. There's no singing in it. It's all instrumental, but it's been like really inspirational because it's different and it's funk and it's like upbeat and it's sort of inspired me to try different things musically.
Yeah.
And then I go back to the old classics like Carole King, and I always liked Kimbra. I don't know if you're familiar with Kimbra.
No.
She's the female singer on the Gaudier song, but you didn't have to cut me off, make up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
She's great. Yeah.
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 Well, that's pretty cool. Hey, this has been really fun.
Yeah, it has
been
fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope you find your way up further east from Manitowish Water. I don't even know where Manitowish Water is. I know it's north.
It's like straight north for like 4.5 hours.
Whoa, that's far. Okay. But we're about as east as you can go. So I hope to see you up in that area too.
Yes, I would love to come to the Green Bay area.
Yeah, it would be fun to have you up there, and we'll have you in that studio. Conrad, clean the place up a little, all right? Katie might be coming by.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. You want to play us to the break?
Yes, that sounds
like
great.
Some kind of fun. We got about, I don't know, 30 seconds or a minute.
That sounds good. Conrad, if I come up, you're going to have to like burn some sage in the air.
He could do that. He's a big sage guy.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This song is called Sunny Days.
All right.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Voting Rights Act of 1965, Section 2, included opportunity for communities of minority voters to elect the congressional candidate of their choice by creating a majority-minority voting district. In 2025, Alabama, for the first time in history, has two black members of Congress. It wasn't easy. Alabama's population is almost 27% black, yet the state had only one majority-minority congressional district out of seven after the 2020 redistricting cycle. Voters sued under the Voting Rights Act, and in 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court in Allen v. Milligan determined the legislature had intentionally diluted black voting power. Alabama's federal district court ordered new maps, which the legislature and governor defied, refusing to create a second majority-minority district. Finally, in October 2023, the court chose a map drawn by a court-appointed expert, which included a second black district. Black Alabamian Shamari Figures, son of civil rights activists, won the second congressional district 55% to 45%. The Milligan decision was long-awaited justice for black Alabamians, but a Supreme Court decision in a South Carolina gerrymandering case may narrow already weakened Voting Rights Act protections. We have more on the Milligan decision and its consequences at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them on. When you're feeling blue, I'm thinking just of you.
Someone. All right. The show is always more fun when Katie Scullin is on and in the studio. Conrad, that was fun. Am I wrong?
That was some great music.
Get some sage. We got to have her in Green Bay.
Yes, definitely.
She's a little scared. I don't blame her. I freaked out last week when the towel dispenser started making noises. What are you going to do? It's haunted. Hey, send us your text. What is your favorite video game, folks? That's tonight's question. We've got some great answers. And mine is Wii. Conrad's it. What was yours again? I'm sorry. I keep forgetting.
I had, just sports games in general and Guitar
sports
Hero.
Sports games. Do you like a nice sports contest on the television?
I do. I do enjoy. Very much.
All right. Let's get to our next guest, who is always so much fun to have on the show. He is a Milwaukee-based film and TV critic. You can follow him on his Substack or on X or Blue Sky. I'm completely spacing on Matt's... A Man About Film. At A Man About Film on X, I still call it Twitter, or Blue Sky, and check out his Substack. Under the same name. He joins us now to talk Golden Globes. Matt Miller. Matt, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. And feel free to keep calling it Twitter. I think that is both the moral and ethical right thing to do.
What is, that place is so horrible.
It's not I good.
Mean, I have a few people I follow there. I'm going to stay there. But man, it's so toxic at times. It just is a real buzzkill.
I mean, especially if you dare venture into the For You tab, which is truly a Mad Max hellscape of villainy and wretchedness. Sometimes there's decent conversations on there, but that's only because I've happily gathered a nice group of people that I pay attention right. to. So, but otherwise,
That's kind of how I am too. I go there. There's a few people, whether they're like showbiz or sports or news or whatever. But other than that, it's tough. You read some of the comments, very depressing.
Yes, never how are you, buddy? Comments. I'm good. I'm excited. We are in January, which is normally kind of a dead month for movies, but the first movie that came out this year was actually pretty good. So that's pretty exciting. That's off to a nice start, at least cinematically wise. And yeah, we got a bunch of Oscar stuff coming up these next few months. The nominations are just 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah.
Which feels shorter than usual, which is nice.
You know, Matt, it's so funny. Like, I know this is kind of considered a dead time at the box office. There's no big blockbusters coming out, but I feel like there are some really great movies in the theaters right now, probably because of the award season. That's kind of a pet peeve of mine too. Like, they release them
right up to the deadline. I haven't even seen half the movies they were talking about last night.
Yeah, and it's the strategy thing of, you know, if you have a movie like The Brutalist, a 3.5 hour long movie about, you know, an architecture, you know, or if you have, you know, a movie like Nickel Boys, which, you know, not a big star-studded affair, you know, about, you know, race in America, that's, you know, not an easy sell, you know, you want to wait until you can get some Oscar nominations, until these kind of award season things come around. But you still have to release your movie, at least in limited release, in 2024. Right. So you end up with this place where, like, I have had to listen to so much Brutalist discourse on social media because everyone in New York and LA has already hashed it out. And I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs being like, any minute now, it's going to come to Milwaukee, any minute now, which I will say, I just saw it is officially coming to the Oriental Theater and hopefully a few other ones on the 17th. Of January, so hopefully not too much longer of a wait. And Nickel Boys is coming to Milwaukee on the 17th, or at least the Oriental Theater. So we don't have to wait too much longer for those kind of awardsy movies, and hopefully more to come.
I've heard nothing but great things about Nickel Boys, too. So those are two I would probably go see on the same day, even though The Brutalist is almost 4 hours long with the intermission.
I was going to say, and maybe not this, because they don't seem light, you know? They don't seem like lighthearted, fancy-free affair. So that seems like a pretty heavy day at the theater. If you need a double feature, I would maybe, I don't know, mix in, like, I don't know, Den of Thieves.
Yeah.
Instead, just to get some levity in there. But no, very excited for some really good movies to come to town.
Have you seen The Fire Inside?
I did see The Fire Inside. It is the preferred of the two Barry Jenkins related movies that came out on Christmas.
Okay, so that's on my list. I wanted to take my daughter to see that. I just thought it sounded great. It got great reviews, and it's a really interesting story.
Yeah, and it's unconventional. It is not as much about the boxing as you may want it to be. It is not, you know, it's not a Rocky movie. It's not a Creed movie. It's really a lot about what's going on outside of the ring, especially in the final third of the movie, which is basically boxing free. It is not about the boxing.
That's what I heard, yeah.
It's about the fight that the main boxer, Clarissa Shields, fights on the outside for some respect for what she's doing and for, you know, what she accomplished and for the whole world of women's sports in a way. Really interesting movie, really worth your while. I can see why it didn't, you know, get a bunch of, you know, fire in critics and in the awards bodies, because it doesn't have those big cathartic moments that you might be looking for, especially from a boxing movie. And Amazon is the distributor of that. They already have Nickel Boys. And when you're a distributor like that, they just kind of get a little, they have to pick their fighters. They have to pick their horses that they bet on. And in this case, it seems like they're all in on Nickel Boys and have kind of thrown The Fire Inside out.
Right. I have other questions about other movies, but we have to do the news soon, but let's get an overview. What did you think overall about the Golden Globes? And then we'll dive in further into some more. We'll do more of a deep dive after the news. But thoughts on the Golden Globes, Matt?
Yeah, I'll start with it as a show. I thought the show itself was pretty boring. I think Nikki Glaser did a totally great job.
I think
she did a very good job as host. That's a tough room. And I thought she did a good job of roasting the room without losing the room.
Agreed.
Which is a tricky thing. And she didn't do the whole high and mighty Ricky Gervais thing where she's like, oh, look at me, I'm so edgy, I'm roast. Ooh, look at me stepping on a live wire. She just kind of did her job as a comedian and did it really well. I don't understand, this will be my forever gripe, don't understand why award shows don't show clips. They didn't show any award like of the acting nominees last night. And instead they did that stupid arrow above the crowd, making like they showed like a little graphic of like where they were sitting in the house, which was the dumbest thing. I've never thought to myself like, ooh, where are they sitting? You could barely see their face. You could barely see the nominees. Just made the whole thing look like it was a video game, like mission thing, where it's like, if you want to, you know, if you need a mission in Grand Theft Auto, go to that flashing arrow over there. You'll find Denzel Washington. I think the production was weird. And boring. It wasn't my favorite show, but they had some good winners. And
let's pick up. Sorry, Matt. Didn't mean to catch up. Let's pick up right there. We'll do some news. We'll come back and we'll dive deeper into the Golden Globes with Matt Miller, ladies and gentlemen. He's here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. We'll be right back.
Without my pride, I reach out from the inside.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. At least five deaths now blamed on icy, snowy weather that made its way from the nation's midsection to the mid-Atlantic states. Now comes frigid cold. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The temperatures are going to be so low in the eastern portion of the United States that the usual salt that you would use, you can't use the normal amount. It's just too cold.
The strongest Santa Ana winds in more than a decade will increase the risk of wildfires and power outages in Southern California. This woman in Simi Valley.
We're ready to go. Yeah, we have everything set tonight, and we're going to just monitor the news and look out the window and see how bad it is.
At least 95 people in Tibet killed by a 7.1 earthquake near Nepal. The BBC's Laura Bicker is in Beijing.
There's about 60,000 people spread out in various communities. The buildings themselves are quite low-rise buildings, but many of them have collapsed.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers lose Christian Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirmed that wide receiver Christian Watson could be out a year after suffering a torn ACL and other damage to his right knee during Sunday's game against the Bears. Up next, the Packers face the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Everything is on the line. You know, it's no real do-overs. It's no flush last week. It's no none of that. It's, you know, execute when the times that they got to make a play or whatever. That's what we're going to look forward to try to do. You know, this whole week.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers with another nice Big Ten conference win, 75-63 at Rutgers. In the NBA, after losing four of their last five, the Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 128-104. Bobby Portis with 20 points. Damian Lillard led with 25.
Being physical, making them work offensively, the communication, helping each other, gang rebounding. Those are all things we can control.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There was a lion's roar atop the box office this past weekend. Mufasa took first place on the big screen with a haul of just under $24 million. The Lion King prequel edged out Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the last weekend of 2024. Sonic, which was tops last weekend over Mufasa, brought in just over $21 million for a second place, but out-earned Mufasa over the traditional three-day weekend. Both films are entering their fourth week of release and showing decent legs. Coming in third place this past weekend was Focus Features' Nosferatu, a surprise hit that has pulled in about $70 million since its release on Christmas Day. The film is now at $100 million globally. Rounding out the top five were Moana 2 in fourth place with $12 million and about to pass $1 billion globally. And in fifth place was Wicked with just over $10 million. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, landed in sixth place for the second week in a row with just over $8 million big ones. Great assortment of flicks in the theaters right now to help you combat the cold. Check them out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thicken up in the overnight. Our winds will remain light, and our temperatures dropping to the upper single digits. Morning clouds on Tuesday expected to give way to mostly sunny skies. Highs in the upper teens to around 20 degrees. It's 3 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll break down all of the hidden symbols and why Beyonce Bowl on Christmas was so important in this political moment. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You know, the danger when you have someone on your show who can sing and who's really good at it is that you're tempted to do so yourself when the mood catches you. And I'm really glad I held back there when that song was playing. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. We are in our fourth and final quadrant, if you will, on a Monday night broadcasting live from downtown Madison. Great to have you with me. And you can't say Happy New Year anymore, but you can. This is like ordinary time. It's official. The holidays are officially completely over. And what better way to segue into the boring part of the year than with our friend Matt Miller, who joins us now on the stream. You can check him out at A Man About Film on Twitter, Blue Sky, and he has a great Substack too. Check that out. Matt, we were talking about the Golden Globes. You kind of gave me your overall take, and I agree. I thought Nikki Glaser, and this is interesting. I was wondering, like, you were saying that, and it occurred to me that, yeah, she's the anti-Ricky Gervais because this was like a promotion for her, you know, and I think she wanted to do well, and I thought she did. I love the joke about Timothée Chalamet's lashes being above his lip, you know, that
and
kind
the,
of stuff.
Bringing in Adam Sandler for the Timothy yes. Chalamet sounds like an Adam Sandler line. Like she did a yeah. very good job. And again, it's so weird that those shows are so hard because the celebrities want to be roasted, but if you take it just a bridge too far, you lose the room. And when you lose exactly. the room, you lose the home audience because it sounds like all the jokes are dying. And she pulled it off. I would have her back if I was the Golden Globes. And from all the reporting, it sounds like they want her back.
Yeah. And anything, I mean, it was a step up after all the controversy last year. So it was cool that she did a good job. And I think the host should be there, should be engaging, but also the focus should be on why they're there celebrating great movies and TV, right?
Yeah. It would be nice. We need clips. Again, the whole point of award season is to sell people movies and TV shows that the industry thinks people will like. Why not show Absolutely. People some of these clips? If you are an average viewer watching that, you probably have no idea what Nickel Boys is or The Brutalist or something like that. And you walked away from that show being like, I have no idea what these things are. That right. is a failed advertisement. It's so upsetting to me. How many? I mean, I always tell people you have that memory of watching an award show and seeing a clip and being like, whoa, what yeah. was that? And then you end up watching the movie and thinking it's great. And I don't understand why they're skipping that right now.
That's really interesting. What did you think of Zoe Saldana's speech? I think I've heard sources tell me she just stopped hyperventilating about 3 hours ago. what did you think of her speech?
She was very excitable, which is good. You know, yeah. I think you want the secret is to the Golden Globes is that they mean nothing. No one who votes for the Golden Globes votes for the Oscars. They are not a part of any, you know, guild. They're not a part of really any Hollywood machinations. So they don't mean anything of like, ooh, where is the wind blowing? All it means is that they won tonight and winning is a good look. Sure. So in that case, and when you win, you want to give a good speech. You want to get people thinking, ooh, I want to hear more from this person. And I think in Zoe Saldana's case, she was very excited. The first award, basically, of award season. It was the first award of the night. I think that exuberance is good. They want that Julia Roberts star moment on stages. The opposite of that is Kieran Culkin, who kind of came off aloof and kind of came off like, oh, this is nice. Thanks for giving me this. I'm going to go now. And yeah. I don't think that's going to hurt him. I think that's totally, you know, it's within his character. And I think people, you know, that seems to be a runaway hit of a performance. There's not a yeah. lot of competition for it. As of right now, we'll see if that changes. I still think Edward Norton could creep up and maybe surpass him at some point. And then you have Demi Moore's speech last night, who I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think The Substance and Demi Moore are going to be serious Oscar contenders this year. And that's bizarre to say if you've seen The Substance. It's the least Oscar-y movie you can imagine. Yeah. And now I think it's going to be a legit player.
I haven't seen it. And I loved what she said. She gave, you're right. She gave a great speech. She said, this is the first award I've ever won. And she's had a great career. Why isn't it Oscar? Oh, and she did say, you know what, Matt, what else did I see? Oh, she said, she thought she was kind of done, and then she got this weird wacko script and loved it. And that ends up being the one she wins a Golden Globe for. Why isn't it Oscar worthy, though? I haven't seen it.
It's not a question of worthy. It's definitely worthy of being in these conversations. And her performance especially is, this kind of feels like a Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler thing, where it's a really good performance, but also one that matches Demi Moore's career and kind of narrative. It is just 100% not the type of movie the Oscars ever reward. They do not reward horror movies. They definitely don't reward horror movies that go to the places The Substance does. It is a bazonkers movie that is much more of a midnight movie than an Oscar movie. And the fact that the Oscars have embraced, and not the Oscars, but the fact that award season thus far has embraced it so much is wild. And it's also a small studio movie. This comes from Mubi, which is a very small kind of independent streaming first company that started getting into the distribution game recently. And this was going to be a Universal movie. Universal ditched it because they didn't think people were going to show up for it. Now it's turned into a massive hit. Demi Moore is your front runner for Best Actress.
How about that?
And if you've seen the last half hour of The Substance, you do not think to yourself, this is a movie the Oscars are going to like. It's a bazonkers movie. I don't know if she would be my Best Actress winner or that movie would be my Best Picture winning movie, but I love the idea of the Oscars pointing to a movie that gross, that genre, that weird, and being like, yes, that is a movie we want to give an award. I think that is a 100% thumbs up. More of that, please.
So you said, like, Matt, that the Golden Globes don't really influence the Oscars or anything like that. But, you know, in this case, would that be something that Oscar voters, like, well, we have to look at this? Or, you know, I mean, do you see any correlation mix and match that might happen with the Oscars too of winners last night?
The big thing is winning looks good. You know, you want to be considered a contender. And Demi Moore winning last night gave credence to the idea that The Substance is worth talking about in an award season conversation, that Demi Moore is worth talking about in an award season conversation. You know, this isn't like the SAG Awards, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, or the Writers Guild, where those are Oscar voters. That is not the Golden Globes. The Golden Globes are a weird body of Hollywood reporters internationally based. So they don't vote for the Oscars, but they can make people kind of raise their eyebrows and be like, okay, is this a movie I should take seriously? Is this a movie I should watch? Yeah. And you stay in the conversation. Whereas a movie like, you know, September 5th, or a movie like Anora, which was a big awards movie a few months ago, but got blanked last night at the Golden Globes, then people start thinking like, oh, is this a movie I really need to pay attention to? Is this a movie I need to watch? Are there other things that are more exciting, that are more worth my time? That is how the Golden Globes can influence things, or at least kind of perceptions. Again, all of this may be moot. For all I know, you know, Anora sweeps the Oscars. The Substance totally doesn't, no shows anywhere, because it's the Golden Globes. They don't matter. They're run by a corrupt organization that has gotten less corrupt and more corrupt at the same time. So, you know, it's all strange and goofy and very Hollywood.
My guest is Matt Miller. Check out his Substack at A Man About Film, and check him out on X and on, or I should say Twitter, sorry, and Blue Sky.
You shouldn't say X. You should say Twitter.
I hung out for the longest time, I would say Twitter, and now it's, I don't know if it's wearing me down or what, but whatever. I've got only 200 followers or so. I don't even care. But I know you're.
Wear that with a badge of pride.
Yeah, exactly. Which of the performances, Matt, have you seen that were winners last night that you agree with or disagree with?
It's kind of tough because a lot of it was The Brutalist, with Adrian Brody winning Best Actor. The movie hasn't come to Milwaukee yet, so can't really speak on that. The lead actress whose name is escaping me right now from I'm Still Here, Fernanda Torres, a Brazilian movie, I believe. That has not come to Milwaukee yet. That was kind of a surprise of the night. Because normally the Golden Globes, they are easily distracted by, you know, the biggest celebrities in the room. And in this case, they went very far, very in a different direction with that kind of indie pick for that movie that's been very much off the radar thus far, except for maybe international feature awards. So the fact that they chose her over the likes of Angelina Jolie in the Maria Callas movie on Netflix right now tells me that maybe that is something to look for. Maybe that's something we could see later on.
Right.
Maybe we'll see how that happens. I do think everyone is picking Angelina Jolie to get nominated for an Oscar for this Maria Callas movie on Netflix that no one has watched, that doesn't exist. No one's talking about it. No one's watching it. Doesn't exist. But all these awards people are like, well, obviously she'll get nominated. It's her in a biopic playing a famous person. And I don't know. It kind of feels like it's not happening. So we'll see what happens with the, I believe the Screen Actors Guild Award nominations come out Thursday, either Wednesday or Thursday this week.
Oh, okay. So
that'll be a real kind of test to see if Angelina Jolie will show up at the Oscars as a nominee or maybe as just happy to be there.
Right, right. I have to say, I feel like Shogun has been on everybody's radar, it seems like, for 2 years now. And maybe it's because of the way they did the Emmys or something last year, but I watched the whole series. I have to say I was a little disappointed at the way it ended. I thought it was very slow at times. It was beautiful. It was well acted, and it's a great story. But I felt like maybe two episodes less and maybe something that actually happened at the end.
But hold on, you're telling me a streaming series was bloated? That's crazy. That never happened.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and it's like if they were on network and had to make 22 episodes, I get it. But, man, you could do whatever you want, you know, on some of these smaller platforms.
It makes more – what is the metric? How do they measure streaming? How do they measure success? Minutes viewed,
right.
So it behooves people to make longer streaming shows. That's why every docuseries now is like 4 hours long, needlessly.
Oh my gosh, I know.
When a tight 2-hour documentary would do.
Exactly. What did you, like, in terms of all the shows and movies last night that were mentioned or that won, Matt, what is one of them or two of them that you say people should see this?
I think The Brutalist is definitely worth seeing. It's the 3.5-hour long, you know, Giants movie about the architect immigration tale. I think it's such a unique and exciting kind of, it's 3.5 hours. It has an intermission. I love these kind of big swings. And I like the things he talked about last night where it's like, you know, we need to learn how to push our weight around a little bit as creatives.
Yeah.
And the movie's making money in limited release. They've turned these movies into events. So I'm excited to see The Brutalist. I think that's one people should definitely have their eyes on. I'm really excited about Nickel Boys to come here. I'm excited about September 5 to come out. I'm a big sucker for, you know, pressure cooker thrillers that happen to be about journalistic ethics, and also sports happen to be nearby. That's 100%. They should have just called that movie, Matt, this one's for you. So I'm interested to see that one. There's a lot of really good stuff out there for the Oscars. I know that's a real non-answer in terms of the movie side of things.
Well, you're right, though. I mean,
part this time of year, when you, especially if you live in a city like Milwaukee that's still waiting on a bunch of these movies, is you kind of just have to put stuff on your watch list versus your, you know, versus, oh, I've already seen these.
Well, and I said that at the top of our interview, like that all these movies come out, people didn't have time to see them before watching the award show. I love that they come out now because, look, in Wisconsin in January, you know, you've got some NFL football, maybe some hoops, but you need stuff to do. And what better way? To me, there are so many great movies out there right now.
Well, and again, you've got the Oscar nominations this year come out on the 17th, a Friday, which is unusual. Normally, they come out midweek. Come out on a Friday. So you're going to see Nickel Boys coming out that weekend, Brutalist coming out that weekend. I believe Sing Sing, the Coleman Domingo movie about prisoners learning to kind of deal with, you know, kind of rehabilitate themselves with art. That's going to be back in theaters. The Wild Robot, the animated movie, that is going to be back in theaters on the 17th. So it's interesting. All these movies are coming out now, turning January out of being a graveyard and into this place for incredibly good movies.
Absolutely. Matt, we have to do a really quick break and then we keep you for a few more minutes. Close the show down here. All right. Fantastic. Matt Miller is going to help us close this down from the 608. Our video game question. What is your favorite video game? 608 says, hi, Pete. Dig Dug will always hold a special place in my heart. I've never loved and despised a video game more. Oh, that's very well said. That's AJ from the 608. We'll be right back with a few more minutes with Matt Miller. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On the stream, Talia says, yay, Katie Scullin. Totally agree with you, Talia. She was a fun guest. Katie's always fun, as is our current guest, Matt Miller. We are talking Golden Globes and movies and TV, as we often do. Matt, are you watching Landman by any chance?
I am not. I cannot. I can only watch 15 Taylor Sheridan shows at once. So I've reached my limit. No, I have not watched Landman. What are you making of? That's the Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Isn't Demi Moore in that as well?
That's why I was asking. It's got a good cast. It's kind of trashy. It's like a it's like a softcore porn Dallas. You know, and that's, I feel like Taylor Sheridan, like, there's some stuff of his I like. Loved Hell or High Water. I really liked the 1883 and 1923 shows. Didn't care much for Yellowstone after a season. Like Lioness, okay. But my point is that, like, Demi Moore is in Landman. She plays John Hamm's wife. She's barely in it, which makes me think she's sincere when she says she thought she was done. Like, is she doing the show for her SAG benefits or something? I don't understand. She's got such a small role.
Yeah, I assume that she took, I mean, if you get a chance to take a gig on a Taylor Sheridan written show, that's a great job to get these days. Yeah, I mean,
great point.
The guy has cranked out hits. People who are in those shows have gone on to do big things, and he still has some respect to his name. He's, you know, he's like kind of like Tyler Perry, basically, where he's spread so thin now.
Yeah.
You know, at least he's kind of a better filmmaker, better writer than Tyler Perry is. Tyler Perry started off bad and only has gotten worse as
Taylor Sheridan is a good writer. Like, when he wants to be, he's great.
When you're writing 17 TV shows, exactly, you're going to have a dip in quality. When he got to focus on stuff, when he wrote stuff like Hell or High Water and Sicario and Wind River.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, he can be really good, but now it's quantity over quality for him.
Absolutely. So did you see Conclave? Have we talked about Conclave, Matt?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you what you thought about the controversy. Like, I feel like people are always going to find something that ticks them off. The Megyn Kelly said something about this is terrible. And it's like, you know, movies aren't made just for you personally. This is something that happened. I had 16 years of Catholic schooling. It didn't bother me.
Honestly, Megyn Kelly disliking your movie is the greatest review a movie could get.
Yeah, right.
And I, you know, I think you said it right there. You know, if you have been raised, you know, Catholic, you were a Christian, you have those values. You see what the movie is trying to do. I'm trying not to spoil what happens right with it, but I think the movie speaks quite a good truth about how, you know, it's looking, you know, beyond the people who have held power for all of, you know, eternity and stuff like all of human, you know, I don't want, again, I'm tiptoeing right now because I don't want to spoil how it ends because that is going to be an Oscar player. And as of right now, that is still my pick to win Best Picture. I think that is, I think it fits the audience of the Oscar voter where, you know, it's got stuff to chew on, but isn't too challenging in the way The Brutalist would be. It's very audience friendly. It's got Argo vibes where even if you don't think it's the greatest movie of the year, it's super watchable. You've got great performances in it. I think that movie is probably going to go far and you're going to hear its name come up a lot over the next 2-3 months.
Yeah, great point. I liked it. I thought, you know, the performances were excellent and the story was good. And it's just, it humanized all these cardinals, but didn't make them look terrible. I just think people that if you look for something to be offended about, you're going to find something to be offended about. I thought it was a really good movie. And that's interesting. The Argo connection.
The currency on the internet is outrage. And so you have to keep stoking those fires. Exactly. So you can't watch something and be like, oh, that's an interesting take. Your immediately thought has to be, oh, this is bad and this is outrage. And everyone must be angry at this too, because you've got to keep stoking that fire. Because if you don't, then you're not making money. And that's the case, unfortunately, with too much of media right now.
Matt, we've got about a minute left. If you could just comment, I don't know if you've seen Nosferatu yet, but Nicholas Hoult, this guy is on a roll right now, like nobody's business. Have you seen Nosferatu? Have you seen Juror Number 2? What do you think of him as an actor? And comment on his movies quickly, if you could.
I'm the huge weirdo who has seen Juror Number 2, but not Nosferatu yet.
Same here, yeah.
Maybe we should combine them together.
I know.
Juror Nosferatu? Is there something?
I love it.
But no, Nicholas Hoult is a really fascinating actor. He got a start with About a Boy, the Hugh Grant movie back in 2002. And everyone was like, he's a really good young actor. And then he kind of disappeared for a little bit and he popped up in Mad Max Fury Road. He's the kind of good war boy.
He's a war boy. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's had this really good run here at the end of the year where he's had Nosferatu. He's had Juror Number 2 and he was in something else recently where
The Order. Yeah.
Where he's really kind of mastered this art of kind of playing kind of weaselly guys. Yeah. At least that's the case in The Order and Juror Number 2. I think he's really grown into a nice actor. It is this interesting, I think we've talked about this before, where the Colin Farrell thing and a lot of Hugh Grant in a way is this way, and Jude Law, his co-star in The Order, where when guys stop trying to become leading men and start becoming character actors, and when Hollywood stops trying to make them boring leading men and they are allowed to do weird, interesting roles, then you're like, oh, you can actually really act. And I think that's the Nicholas Hoult thing, where he's kind of skipped all of the, you know, leading man stuff.
Yeah.
He's going to be Superman next year, but as Lex Luthor. And now he's just kind of embraced taking on weird, interesting roles and paying off. Hopefully he gets, you know, more attention and more awesome roles like that.
I hope so. Matt, very well said. Thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll do it again soon, I hope. Have a great night.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. That's Matt Miller. One more text here. Bill from Green Bay says, back in the day, loved playing track and field, Burger Time. Yes. And Tron. I love track and field too. And Burger Time was such a fun game. What a great video game name. Conrad, did you have fun?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
A little scared too, though.
Yeah, I understand why. Clean up the place. I'll be back tomorrow night. Thanks so much for being with me here on Nightlight. Thank you to Katie Scullin. Thanks to Matt Miller. Thank you to Chris Casper on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad. This is Peach Waba saying good night, Wisconsin.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some Republicans don't seem very enthusiastic about continuing to fund the IRS. Why would that be? We'll kick that around. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Some schools and federal offices will be closed in Washington, D.C. for the second day after a massive storm that dumped snow, sleet, and freezing rain on the nation's capital. It's blamed for at least 5 deaths. Power outages led to water problems in Richmond, Virginia. Mayor Danny Abbott.
There was a failure of a component that created some flooding at the water treatment plant, and that's impeded our ability to produce more water.
On the heels of the storm, Arctic air. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
We are in the freezer for the eastern half of the country through the rest of the week. And that is a big problem because now the next storm that's coming through begins Thursday in Texas. And the potential is there for a half foot of snow.
There are fears of power outages and winter wildfires in Southern California, where officials are gearing up for what's expected to be a life-threatening and